ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 9th कैंटो चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 23 एंड 24 टुडे। सो टेक्स्ट नंबर 23 इज देयर ऑन द बोर्ड, प्लीज रिस्पॉन्ड। यस्य क्रतुषु गिर्वाणै सदस्य ऋत्विजो जना तुल्य रूपश्चानिमीषा व्यदृश्यन्त सुवाससः। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। विल रीड द नेक्स्ट वर्स ऑल्सो लेटर, सो ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय प्रभुपाद। इन द सैक्रिफाइस अरेंज्ड बाय महाराज अंबरीश, the members of the assembly and the priests, especially, there are four types of priests in any sacrifice, especially Hota, Udgata, Brahma and Advaryu were gorgeously dressed, and they all looked exactly like demigods. They eagerly saw to the proper performance of the yajna. Text number 24, I'll chant, it's not written here. स्वर्गो न प्रार्थितो यस्य मनुजैर अमर प्रिय श्रृण्वद्भिर उपगायद्भिर उत्तम श्लोक चेष्टितम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट। ट्रांसलेशन, द सिटीजन्स ऑफ द स्टेट ऑफ महाराज अंबरीश वेर accustomed टू चैंटिंग एंड hearing अबाउट द ग्लोरियस एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द personality ऑफ Godhead. Thus, they never aspired to be elevated to the heavenly planets, which are extremely dear even to the demigods. Purport. A pure devotee who has been trained in the practice of chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord and his fame, qualities, form, paraphernalia and so on, is never interested in elevation to the heavenly planets, even though such places are extremely dear even to the demigods. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati svargapavarga narkeshu api tulyartha darshina. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the supreme personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. The heavenly planets, liberation and the hellish planets are all the same to a devotee. This is Bhagavatam 6.17.28. A devotee is always situated in the spiritual world. Therefore, he does not desire anything. He is known as akam or desireless, because he has nothing to desire except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Maharaj Ambarish was a most exalted devotee of the Lord, he trained his subjects in such a way that the citizens in his state were not interested in anything material, including even the happiness of the heavenly planets. Hare Krishna. First of all, I thank all the devotees for giving me this chance to share some thoughts on this most wonderful scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, two verses from this scripture. Also, I'd like to beg for blessings from all the assembled devotees so that what I speak is in line with what is mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam primarily speaks about the activities, the pastimes, qualities of the Supreme Lord. And that is why it is celebrated, that is why it gains the position of the best, the topmost scripture. But another reason for its getting this position is also that in addition to covering the life, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, it also contains the activities and pastimes of his pure devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees. So when we hear about the activities of these both, the Lord or his devotees, it gives us the same result. That is development of devotional service. You get, become more and more attracted towards the Lord. So that is why here, for some time now, we have been discussing the life and character of such an exalted devotee as Ambarish Maharaj. Very amazing life he has led. The prime goal of human life, that is development of love for Krishna, definitely it's possible for everyone, all living entities. There have been examples where animals and lower species have exhibited their love for the Lord. But the Shastras mention that it is easily, most easiest of all, it is available in the human form of life. All the facilities that are necessary for practicing this supreme occupation is available in the human form of life. In the 11th canto, in an analogy, the human body is compared to a very well-formed, well-equipped boat. This material world is compared to a big ocean which very difficult to conquer, very difficult to cross. But this human form of life is compared to a nice boat with the Guru as its captain. Nardeham adhyam sulabham sudurlabham guru karanadharam plavam sukulpam guru karanadharam. So it is glorifying, it is mentioning to us how this human form of life is sulabham, very easy to practice devotional service, but at the same time sudurlabham, but very rare also to get this human form of life. So all of us are implored by the devotees, all of us are implored by the Shastras, please do not waste this human form of life. This human form of life can award us the supreme benediction to develop love for Krishna. Especially in today's verse, it is mentioned that the citizens of Maharaj Ambarish's kingdom, they were not even attracted to the heavenly planets. So, taking this small point, how, what is it that they were receiving? What is it that they were accustomed to being trained by Maharaj Ambarish, that something as attractive as the heavenly planets loses its attraction for them? In the same 11th canto, Lord Krishna, when he is instructing to Uddhava, he is talking about different items of knowledge. So at one point of time, he mentions how this human form of life is very valuable, and especially on the earthly planets. So he mentions, Swargino apietam icchanti lokam nirayinis tatha sadhakam jnana bhaktibhyam ubhayastad asadhakam. He mentions, Swargino api icchanti, those who live in the heavenly planets, they also icchanti, they also desire a human form of life on the earthly planets. And lokam nirayinas tatha, and people, living entities who are suffering in the hellish planets, they are also desiring to come to the earthly planets. Why? Because sadhakam jnana bhaktibhyam, in this form of life, you can get this. What? Jnana bhaktibhyam, you can get knowledge about the Supreme Lord, and also you can render devotional service to him. So what about those two desirable achievements? The heavenly planets especially, and the hellish planets, heavenly planets and hellish planets. Ubhayam tad asadhakam, Krishna mentions. He says, Ubhaya, in these two places, it is not very efficiently possible. Yes, it is possible. You have free will. You can forget all the pleasures there, or you can forget all the pain in the hellish planets, and it is possible, but the chances are very remote. Asadhakam, it's not very easily available. So he is also glorifying this. Now to understand how life in the hellish planets will not be very easily conducive to spiritual life is not very difficult for us to understand. Too much pain, always being tormented, the environment there, the people there, the whole atmosphere is that of punishment. So when you are getting punished, where is the chance to remember the Lord? So one can understand, too much pain, it's very difficult. But what about too much pleasure? What if life is very nice in some clean place, fragrant lakes nearby? And a thought comes that usually in a place which is favorable for our comfort, there will be more chances of remembering the Lord. One nice example to understand how Krishna's words are true is that of Nalkuver and Manigriv. Nalkuver and Manigriv were born in demigod family. They were sons of Kuver, the treasurer of the demigods. But when they came across Narad Muni, they were sporting in Mandakini Ganges, Mandakini River, the Ganges that flows in the heavenly planets. Now usually people go to the Ganges to take bath, to get purified, to get spiritual consciousness. But these two sons of demigods were performing very unfavorable activities. So here they are born in a demigod family, capable bodies, definitely high intelligence, but they are wasting their facilities. They are wasting what has been gifted to them by the Supreme Lord. Devotees, when they get facilities, they may not be so foolish. We are talking of Maharaj Ambarish here. So, Maharaj Ambarish knows how to utilize facilities. Maharaj Ambarish is not a demigod, but definitely he is the king of the whole world. Definitely he has the facilities which an ordinary person on the earthly planet would say belong to a demigod. He must have huge palaces, he must have huge elephants probably. Everything that anybody would desire for as a symbol of opulence, definitely the king of the whole world has. So Maharaj Ambarish has that, but Maharaj Ambarish is a devotee. Maharaj Ambarish himself knows what are the responsibilities of the human form of life. Yes, he has all those facilities, but they are not to be squandered. They are to be utilized. So he is very careful about his own life. He himself does not waste even a single moment. Just some days back we heard how he is using all his senses in the service of the Lord. He uses his hands, he uses his nose, he uses his legs, everything in connection with the Lord. So he is very alert that he should not waste his facilities that are given to him. But in addition to being a human being, in addition to being a devotee himself, he is also a king. And king's responsibility is not only for himself, it is also towards his subjects. It's almost like the subjects are his sons, they are his children. So just like Maharaj Ambarish is very alert for his own development of devotional service, he is similarly alert, if not more, for the spiritual development of those who are under his care. It is mentioned in these verses, he arranged for elaborate sacrifices to the Supreme Lord. So much so that the priests who would come there were gorgeously dressed. They were given all suitable remuneration. The people who had come there, Sadasya Ritvijo Jana, the assembly even who had just come to participate in that sacrifice, they were also nicely dressed, as is mentioned in this verse, almost like demigods. Now people would desire to go to the heavenly planets to become a demigod, to dress like a demigod. And here we are in an earthly planet being ruled by Mahabhagavat devotee, and people who come for sacrifices in his kingdom, they are dressed like demigods. So, you know, and if you want to buy something and that thing is available right in your home, who would go to the market to purchase it? It's easily available here. So the very purpose for which people desire to go to the demigods, to the heavenly planets, is already served here if you have proper administration like that of Maharaj Ambarish. Another thing to understand is that he himself knows the right path. He himself knows what is to be done. And he is very open. He is very... He does not want to hide it. He openly teaches all this knowledge to his subjects. Sometimes people know some knowledge. They know something that is valuable. But they are very hesitant to share it. They are very hesitant to reveal, especially when it comes to God consciousness, especially when it comes to revealing your spiritual inclinations. If somebody asks you, do you believe in God? People think twice about replying, yes, I do believe in God. I am a regular worshipper of God. As time progresses in Kali Yuga, more and more people would want to not reveal this aspect, if at all it exists. Most of them do not have even any inclination towards God. But Maharaj Ambarish, he is in such a high exalted state as the king. He is a leader. People are going to look up to him. But he does not consider worship of the Lord, service of the Lord as sentimentalism. He does not think worshipping the deity is worshipping the stone. He knows how it is the deity, how it is not stone. And so with full faith and full conviction, because he himself is convinced about it, he is eagerly and openly sharing it with his citizens. People know they don't share, and people who are ready to share are unaware of the truth sometimes. You have leaders today who do not know what is right, yet they are very forthcoming. If given a chance to speak, they'll give a long class, hardly knowing what is good for the citizens. But Maharaj Ambarish is a sterling example. He knows himself what is good, and he is very eager, very enthusiastic to share with his subjects. So this condition in which people are getting knowledge is very beneficial. People are being trained up in devotional service is very beneficial. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing the pitiable condition of the people today. And I'll like to read directly from the purport. He says, usually people are so busy to engage their senses in troublesome and extensive work. These people are so busy in plan making that their intelligence breaks their sleep with different mental speculations. And this is the reason why so many people in the modern world suffer from insomnia. So yes, during the daytime also you are very alert, you know, where is the opportunity to earn more money? How can I get some more enjoyment? But these kind of plan making is not restricted to the daytime, because your intelligence is used to think, how more. So even at night time it is disturbing them. Just imagine something as simple as taking rest in the night is not available to the modern man. This kind of lifestyle is being practiced, preached, eulogized by the modern leaders. They're saying, yeah, do it. This is the right way. Sad state today. So here we are as devotees in this world where such a culture exists. What do we do? What we can do is we can learn from the pure devotees. We can learn from the present acharyas. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. They were not born in the Satya Yuga, but they were very successful in preaching and establishing pure principles of Krishna consciousness. There was no compromise. How did Srila Prabhupada accomplish this? He knows. People of this world are so busy in plan making. They're so expert in trying to come up with different schemes and different explanations. So he would always engage his disciples in doing something extraordinary. When Shyam Sundar Prabhu was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted to establish Krishna consciousness in Bombay, especially as a prime city in India, he said, why don't you organize a big Pandal festival? So Shyam Sundar Prabhu is saying, come on, I'm an American, and you know, in Bombay, as far as our past experience has been, even in Mathura, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Indians have always cheated us. We don't know what is the current rates of items and how do we organize all this. So Prabhupada said, what is your credit if you cannot organize something extraordinary? You are Americans. You are known for something extraordinary. So Prabhupada very nicely utilized this tendency to do something extraordinary, to do something wonderful in the service of Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati established 64 Gaudiya Mats throughout Bharatvarsh. Sometimes it would happen that he would travel to one mutt. Sorry. And he would see that the mutt is going on very nicely. Things are very peaceful now. Nice preaching is happening, financially sound. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would immediately order for something that would put a strain on the financial resources of the mutt. Something like he would order a lot of dioramas suddenly. And then, you know, to purchase all those dioramas and to get all those facilities, the mutt is put into debt. So he knows, you know, if things are peaceful, if things are going on very nicely, things are coming in, things are going out, then we get complacent. So he would come and he would put the entire mutt into debt and then move on. So then again, you have a debt on your hands and then you have to work hard to
repay the debt. So again, you have to utilize all your intelligence and all your passion to preach so that something again comes into the mud and then things get stabilized. So they know very nicely how to do this. That is their expertise. Ambarish Maharaj also, in this same mood, you could say, is very eager to train his followers, his citizens. He's organizing big sacrifices, yajnas. And as per the description, a lot of money must be required for these yajnas. If all his citizens are gorgeously dressed like the demigods, it means he has to spend a lot. But he knows when you give to the right person, when you water the root of the tree, you also receive properly. So, training your dependents is something that is very important. In all cultures, all different nations of the world, the early part of life is always earmarked, is always marked for training purposes. You will always find young men going to schools, colleges, getting educated. Why? Because those are the times when their minds are impressionable. That is the time when you are eager or it's possible to learn something. So Ambarish Maharaj is doing that. Without training, without proper training, we will not have knowledge. Without knowledge, we will become irresponsible. We don't know what is right, we don't know what is wrong. What is to be done, when, we don't know. So we act whimsically. And if all the men in society, without proper training, without proper understanding, they become irresponsible, what do we expect? We expect chaos. Nothing else is possible in such a society. So this training is very important. Prabhupada, when he was approached in the West by the academicians there, because he would very much propagate the idea of a Gurukul, the Vedic system of knowledge transfer. In the West, this system where there is a residential school and students stay and there are different rules and a different curriculum was not very much well received by the authorities in the West. So they would ask Prabhupada, what do you mean by Gurukul? What is going to be taught there? What are the different rules and regulations there? About all other schools, we know what is going to happen there. But about your school, you are giving it a different name and it is based on some ancient concepts. So we don't know. So can you tell us? And he would, in most of his conversations, usually stress on this fact that character development is the foundation of education, is the foundation of training. Academic education can be given later, but character development is very important. So he would say in these Gurukuls, yes, there would be academic studies. Definitely mathematics, history, geography, everything would be taught. But in addition to that, principles of how to stay pure internally, externally would also be taught. His character would be given more focus on a student in the Gurukul. To understand this, I remember one small anecdote somebody told me. Once a thief, he looted a bank robber. And after some time, he was apprehended by the police. But during interrogation, it came out that this thief would speak a different language and he would not know the language of that local place where he was caught. So what to do? You have suspicion on him. So the police had an interpreter who would serve, who knew both languages. So the police person and the interpreter and the thief, they are in an interrogation room. So the police asks the interpreter, ask him if he has committed the theft. So then the interpreter translates in the language of the thief. He says, so have you committed the theft? The thief speaks in his language. He says, no, I have not committed the theft. So interpreter speaks to the police. He says that he has not committed the theft. We'll go fast with this. So police says, tell him, if he does not speak the truth, I'm going to beat him up. So he tells him, he's saying, if you don't speak the truth, he's going to beat you up. He says, no, honestly, I have not committed any theft. I'm an ordinary person. So he tells the police, no, he is saying that he's an ordinary person. He has not committed the theft. Police takes out his gun. He says, I know for sure that he is there. I have evidence. I just want to hear it from his mouth. So he takes out his gun and points it on the thief's, suspect's forehead and tells the interpreter, tell him, if he does not accept the truth, I am going to shoot him right here. So the interpreter tells him, he is now saying, he's very serious, he's now saying, if you don't speak the truth, he's going to shoot you right here. The thief says, all right, I accept it. The booty is at the base of a tree which is behind the bank. The interpreter tells the police, he says he has not committed the theft, and he says that you don't even have the guts to pull the trigger. So, you know, the police and the thief, they are so much having faith in this interpreter, but he does not have good character. So what use is all that faith and all that trust that they put on him? Character is very important. You have people today who are in high posts and they have been given the responsibility to organize a big game, you know, a series of games. And they are hiring refrigerators for 1 lakh rupees for 15 days or 1 month, whatever it is. A refrigerator, if you buy it, it comes for around 10,000 rupees. And the rent for 1 month is 1 lakh rupees. And they have hired thousands of such refrigerators for the games. And these are people in high posts. These are people who have been elected, who have been put faith in by you and me. What use is this faith? There's no character. They are very well educated. They can speak nicely. They dress up very nicely, just like the father of the nation wanted them to. But here, something is different. The values that these people have are different. So character is very important, and that's why this kind of training is very important. Something that Prabhupada wanted, something that Maharaj Ambarish is practically doing here, is training his citizens. Now, easiest way, if we understand that without knowledge, we would become irresponsible, and with irresponsible men, you cannot expect a good society. So it becomes important to understand how we get knowledge, how we get training. There are different ways. You read books, you associate with those who are knowledgeable themselves. The easiest way is to hear from the proper person. You hear from bona fide people. That gives you the fastest and the easiest way to get trained up, to get knowledge. Prabhupada, when he was preaching around the world, he would also come to India and he would also want Indians to take up to devotional service, Krishna consciousness. So sometimes he would be in places like Vrindavan even. And when he would be in the temple in which he would stay, he would give classes in English. But sometimes the local Vrajvasis, seeing his phenomenal success throughout the world, would invite him to speak in Hindi also. So Prabhupada would take his disciples there also. And once, in the early days, it happened that Prabhupada was giving a Hindi class to, because most of the people are Vrajvasis, they don't understand English. And some of his disciples were sitting right in front. And he sang Jai Radha Madhav, then he started the class in Hindi. So these disciples, they thought, oh, now we don't understand all this. So let's do something more important. Let's go somewhere and do some seva. So they got up and left. So Prabhupada called them. He explained to them that when the spiritual master speaks, the language is not important. The language is subservient to the message. This is transcendental sound vibration. Even if you don't understand the words, just by expressing your mood to sit for a class where the spiritual master is speaking, even if you don't understand the language, as gross as that, definitely it is very beneficial for the devotees. So Prabhupada, by his own example, he was noted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his own spiritual master. Yes, I have noted him. He likes to hear. Prabhupada himself also has laid great emphasis on this quality of hearing from the right person as a means to acquire knowledge, which is like good training. And without training, things will be chaotic. And with training, we see what are the effects in today's verse. Lord Krishna also in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, yes, we have that famous shloka 7.1, Yatha gyasasi tat shrunu, and Prabhupada has spoken so many times on that verse, explaining how we need to hear from the right people to understand about Krishna, to understand about us, ourselves. But in another verse, this quality of hearing also comes out, and I thought it pertinent to discuss this verse here. This is 13th chapter. He says, now in the previous shloka, he has said how people who are yogis, how people who are jnanis, they can achieve the Lord through their means, in their own ways. And then having said that, he speaks in this verse. Anye tu evam ajanantah. Ajananta means they don't know. So anye, and then there are others who do not know. Shrutva nebhya upasata. They upasana, they worship the Lord by shrutva, by hearing. Tepi cha atitaranti eva mrutyum shruti parayana. He says, yes, there are people who are knowledgeable, there are people who are expert, and they achieve the supreme goal. But anye, there are others who are ajananta, who do not know. So what about them? Are they lost forever in the material world? No. Shrutva nebhya upasata. Tepi atitaranti. They also cross. How? Mrutyum, they cross death. Shruti parayana. We know that was Narayana para. Narayana para would mean somebody who is totally dependent on Narayana. So Shruti parayana means those who are eagerly accepting the process of hearing as their whole and soul means to know God. They are not very expert as jnanis. They cannot practice excellent Ashtanga Yoga. They do not have many skills. But what they do? They are Shruti Parayana. They know that hearing from the right authorities in the proper mood, I can cross over death. And in the translation, Prabhupada translates this verse very nicely. He says, again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from the authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Such a nice way. Wherever you are, sit and hear in the proper mood, gratefully. The purport has some points, Prabhupada mentions. This is especially applicable in today's modern society, Prabhupada says. He says, hearing process is very important, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a lot of stress to it, especially hearing of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then he ends the purport by saying, faithful hearing from authoritative sources is the right way. Sure way. So we fit in this, is it not? How many of us are attracted to Sanskrit? How many of us are attracted to Shastras? Most of us are struggling in these elementary subjects. But what we can do is we can just hear from the right people in the right mood. Faithful hearing from authoritative sources. So to understand this also, I have a small story. There was once a woman and she had a child, newly born child with her. She had something to do in the marketplace. So she went to the market with her child. As she was busy doing her different activities, she wanted to purchase something, she wanted to do something. As she was doing, suddenly she felt that she's not able to locate her child. Where is he? Not to be seen. And she was getting very disturbed by this. So she asked a shopkeeper where she had visited before. She had been to that shop. So she went to that shopkeeper and said, I came here some time back with a child and I bought something from your shop. I remember. Have you seen my child? I have not seen my child. And he began laughing. Now, not speaking something is something that is understandable because he may be busy in his business activities. But then when you smile, when you laugh at such a critical situation, the woman also had no time to reply back. She just left that place. She said, okay, I have been to that other shop also. So she went to that other shop. And in a very desperate mood, she asked, you remember me? I had come here. I'm not able to locate my child. Can you please help me? This shopkeeper also did not laugh that extensively. But he also gave that kind of a queer look to her. What are you asking? What is this question that you are asking? Now she was really puzzled. This happened one or two more times. So every time she is getting a strange look. She decides, I need some different kind of help. So usually you remember godly people, saintly people when you are in difficulty. So this woman remembered that there is a saintly person in the nearby area. So she thought, these shopkeepers are not helping me, let me take refuge of this saintly person. And she went to this saintly person and asked him, Maharaj, here I am, I had a child with me today morning and then I have lost, so can you please help me? Now this saintly person was a very mature person. He did not laugh. And he also did not stay silent because he wanted to help this lady. So he said, there is a lake nearby, go there and you will find the child. Now, yes, the lady had some faith in this saintly person. But this lady thought, this is like an illogical thing to do. I never went to the lake. I started from my home, went to shop number one, shop number two and all these shops. And here I am, standing in front of the saintly person. During the day, no time, I went to the lake. So why is he telling me to go to the lake? But she was helpless. What can be done? No other way. Nobody else was helping her. So she said, okay, anyways, I have lost so much time. I have some faith in this saintly person. I'll at least check out his solution. So she went to the lake and she was looking around and she was very near the water. So she peeped like that. And she saw that the small child was on her shoulders. Now don't take it very literally, that how do you have a child on your shoulders and you don't. But you know, you have that story of, in our school we had a story, a person, an elderly person, aged, put his spectacles on his forehead. Sometimes people do that. And then he was searching the whole house for his spectacles. And he would ask young children in his home, have you seen my spectacles? And they would laugh on him. And then later he saw in a mirror that he had himself kept his spectacles on his forehead, on top of his head. So something like that. This woman saw in the reflection in water, her child on her own shoulders. And then she understood, in all this buying and purchasing and trying to do different things, she forgot she herself had kept her child on her shoulders and he had dozed off. But none of the people in the world were ready to help her. This saintly person could have directly told her, here this child is on your shoulder. But he thought that this is no time to just solve the problem in a short-term way. This is a good opportunity to teach her a good lesson. If you have a valuable child with you, you have to be very careful about it. You cannot neglect the child and do everything else which you may think is important. It turned out that she accomplished all her activities, but in absence of her child, she became desperate. She became forlorn. She did not know what to do. So the saintly person did not only solve her current problem, but he also taught her a lesson that you have to be careful. Similarly, the reason why I discuss this story is, we have the Lord with us in our heart, Riddhesha Arjuna Tishthati, but we don't know that he is there. And we ask people for our solutions. So can you help me? You know, I am depressed, I am distressed. Can you help me? I do not know what is the right thing to do. And sometimes they help us, but they may not know what is the right thing to do. Sometimes they laugh at us. Sometimes if that person is really crooked, he may exploit us in our weak condition. But a true saintly person, sometimes you go to him and ask questions. And sometimes he may not answer very straight. Sometimes you ask a question to some senior person, and he is in return asks you a question. So you wonder, you know, here I am in a distressed condition, I am putting forward a question with so much faith in this person and he is not even answering straight. Why is he putting another question to me? But such people, when they do this, they actually want to go, make us go deeper. We are on the superficial platform. We are trying to identify problems on the superficial platform. Oh, I am not getting enough to eat. Oh, I am not getting enough money. How to increase my pay? These are superficial problems. Real problems are different. So, when we talk to real saintly people, sometimes they may solve problems on an urgent basis, but sometimes they may force us to go deeper. See that the problems we consider problems are not problems in the first case. So, the solutions that we are expecting for our problems are also not the solutions in the first case. Our real problems are different. And when we identify the real problems, then we can get real solutions to real problems. So for that, we have to hear from a saintly person. And however illogical, apparently, it may seem, the solutions may seem to our conditioned mind, expecting an answer in a particular way, expecting a quick answer, quick solution. We have to keep faith in that answer and try to do what is being told to do. Are we blind followers? No. We have examples of sages. We have examples of devotees who followed that path. Mahajano yena gata samanta. When I'm requesting or when we are discussing here that we need to follow the advice of a saintly person, whether we understand it or not, it's not blind faith. It's not blind following. Blind faith and blind following would be when you take it word by word. But you have the example of the past devotees, past acharyas, who also led a life based on hearing and chanting. And they were successful. One example that comes to my mind is that of Gajendra. When Gajendra's pastime starts, Shukdev Goswami mentions how an animal like Gajendra, especially an elephant, is considered to be a very ignorant species, dull species. How he could remember all these verses. So a verse comes where he mentions, he says, Jajap paramam japyam prak janmani anushikshitam. He mentions that in the previous life, this elephant was actually King Indradyumna. So Jajapa, this elephant now, is chanting a special mantra, Paramam Japyam. But how he knows that? Prag Janmani, Anushikshitam. He had learned these mantras in his previous life. And because of that habit of hearing and chanting those mantras, even in a dull life, that of a Gajendra, and because he was a devotee, Lord Krishna had special favor on him, he remembered all those mantras. He remembered all those prayers. And he offered those prayers in times of difficulty and achieved a supreme goal. Lord Krishna himself came and saved him. So even if we sometimes do not understand what we are chanting, but it's always recommended to have this habit of hearing and chanting. And Prabhupada has given us this wonderful institution. He has created so many facilities. There is Srimad Bhagavat Katha every day. The direction of our life has already been set by Prabhupada. Now what will determine who reaches when is the speed at which we are traveling. The route is already set. He has already pointed to us. Supreme Lord Shri Krishna along with his devotees, especially Radha Krishna, how to get attracted to him. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If we do whatever has been given to us by Prabhupada, we are sure to achieve. An ignorant species like Gajendra achieved it. What is that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Labhate paurva dehikam, you know, a unsuccessful yogi gets knowledge from the riyate avashopisa. Avashopisa. He is like uncontrollably attracted to the Lord because there is some remnants of samskaras, impressions from the past life. So we have that chance. Now what is important is we stick to it and we do it seriously in the proper mode. We have to determine the speed at which we travel on this path. The direction is already given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So in this way, training is very important. And especially in today's verse, it is mentioned that Maharaj Parikshit, I'll just take 1 or 2 minutes more. Yeah, the line is, because Maharaj Ambarish was a most exalted devotee of the Lord, he trained his subjects in such a way that the citizens in his state were not interested in anything material, including even the happiness of the heavenly planets. So this is something that we could aim for. For us, we may directly say, oh, I'm not interested in heavenly planets. I want to go to the spiritual world. But heavenly planets for us could mean attraction to bodily pleasure, bodily comforts, more facilities. But if we practice this process of hearing and chanting very nicely, get trained properly, as given to us by our very venerable Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, then we will definitely not be sidetracked, will not be swayed in any of the different attractions that come on this path. In this way, we'll get the desirable, most desirable success in our lives. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much for your patient listening. If somebody has any questions or comments and suggestions, I'll be more than willing to listen. Radha Gopinath, something for our benefit. Somebody else. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.